Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck, one of your hosts, and I'm here with my buddies. Hi, guys. Introduce yourselves.
Hello, this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton.
And I'm one of the threesome, Reverend Dr. Bill Holton. And Cher and I, as you know, are the co-founders of an online ministry called the Global Center for Spiritual Awakening.com.
And we invite you to come and see all our wonderful resources. You can also get there through yourspiritualpractice.com, which may be a little easier for people to navigate on that keyboard.
Like I've said a dozen times before, it's the one I remember, and it gets you right where you want to go. We just want to remind people, too, that's a good place to buy our books. If you really want to support us by buying our books, the best place to buy them is from our website. So we appreciate that. Okay, so we are romping. We're continuing with the laws. But before we do that, I always want to say it's another beautiful day of my consciousness.
Yes, it's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And it's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
A beautiful day. It's a frigid day here, actually.
Here as well.
Yeah, very
North
cool.
Carolina, and it's 17 degrees.
17 degrees, and wind chill is 6 degrees.
Ooh, ouch.
So it's cold.
It is very cold.
You're supposed to be cold. We're not.
We're supposed to be cold. Well, thanks for that. That's true.
Yes. Let me see. You want to mention your website briefly before we jump
in? Yeah, I can do that. I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com, where I have my calendar and the absolute word, and also other things that I do. If you're wondering what I do, it's all on there. So among them is a link for the retreat we're doing at the end of March. But
yes,
let's talk about that at the break, okay?
Yes.
All righty. So thanks, Cher, for reminding me. So we are in the first segment looking at law once again, and we're looking today at the law of spiritual healing. The law of spiritual healing, and then we're going to have our break, and then, of course, we're going to be looking at something in Bill's book, Bill Unplugged. Reverend Bill Unplugged and Unedited. Bill Unplugged would be without a pug dog.
I guess he's unpugged because he doesn't
have a
pug.
You don't have a dog, right? And then we're going to be doing the absolute word at the end, and the word for today is enrichment. So I'm ready to go. You ready to go?
We are.
All right. So go. Take it away.
All right. And the law of spiritual healing, this is an interesting one because a lot of people are interested in healing. So this is an approach to it. And it comes from Charles Fillmore, Jesus Christ Heals book. He says, the law of spiritual healing involves full receptivity on the part of the one under treatment. God does not do things in us against our will, as will acts in both the conscious and subconscious realms of mind. However much it may appear that the word is thwarted in the original intent, this is never true. It goes on and it enters where reception is given it. In this way, men are quickened, and whether we see the result with our physical vision or not, the process is as sure as God himself.
Wow. So we got to do a little tweaking on this one, don't we?
Yeah. Wow. But there's also a lot of good information there, awareness. Yeah.
And it doesn't just apply to health or healing, does it?
No. Yeah,
right.
No.
Okay, so why don't we do it one sentence at a time?
Okay, the law of spiritual healing involves full receptivity on the part of the one under treatment.
Yeah, so we can't force or impose our wills on another, can we?
No. Right.
And I think that's important for people who pray with other people to recognize that prayer is not forcing a result into them.
Correct.
People sometimes think. And not everybody wants the same thing. That's why one of the things when we had prayer teams, we used to say one of the things to do when you pray with people is first invite them to share with you what they would like to focus on in the prayer.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because it may not be what you expect.
Well, and when I was working with pastoral care, I can think of at least one occasion, there was probably more, where there was a very elderly person who was very sick in the hospital and they didn't want healing.
Right.
They wanted release from their physical form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had that a couple mm-hmm. times when we went to the hospital. A woman actually had us come and pray with her husband. And I asked him that question. He said, I just want a fast and easy transition.
There you go.
She yeah. didn't want to hear that, but that's what he wanted. And so yeah. that's where we had to focus.
And also in terms of healing, a lot of us are programmed by our particular society. Case in point, a lot of people believe the stage 4 cancer kills you. Well, if that were true, everyone that has stage 4 cancer would die.
Yes.
Of stage 4 cancer. And so it's more about not so much that stage 4 cancer kills us, but our belief about stage 4 cancer may kill us.
That has to be a major component, always, always. And after all, diagnosis is an opinion.
Exactly.
Right.
You have to keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. And I want to go back to your example because it's really good. Because someone might think that the husband praying for his wife to pass with, let's say, ease and grace would be the husband inflicting or praying his will be done in his wife. And this first sentence says, that's impossible. Don't worry about it.
Right.
Don't worry about it, right? Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so God does not do things in us against our will, as will acts in both the conscious and subconscious realms of mind.
Yeah, okay, so the first problem with this is God doesn't do things, right?
God doesn't do things, period.
right. And so it can't even be against our will. However, what I like about the second half is, as will, your will, my will, acts in both conscious and subconscious realms of mind.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And there could very well be a conscious will that is different than the subconscious will.
Oh, yeah, that's powerful, too.
Whichever one is most powerful, speaking of powerful, is the one that supersedes the other.
Yep. And we like to urge people to come to our sites and check out the three of our discussion on free will. Because as you talk about will, the three of us decided that it's influenced will, not necessarily free will.
Yes, it's well, and it's heavily influenced by conditioning, by beliefs, by all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. And let's not go there right now.
That would be another whole discussion, right?
Yeah, might be another whole book.
Come to the retreat, people.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. But the good thing about that, even getting away from God does not do things in us against our will, I think what that reminds us is that other energy cannot affect us against our will either.
Right.
And that's the thing, because people get all this worry that somebody's hexing them or whatever, you know.
But if they have the mindset that people are hexing them,
mm-hmm. then it
their
will
own system will go about hexing them, right?
Right, because it's the law of mind action again.
Exactly. We're back to our old friend, right?
Yeah,
our buddy.
Yeah. I'm starting to think that's it. That's the key right there.
Well, it's certainly one of the major laws, and we got to remember that. And what you're talking about is what I would call a major premise in unity, and that premise, or a major assumption, an assumption or present premise cannot be proven necessarily, is that there is nothing, no person, no thing, no event, not even God, that can change your mind. Mm-hmm. That we are the kings and queens of our own consciousness. And based on some other things, some other quotes that we've shared on this program before, we are the master of creative ideas. We are the master of divine ideas. We are the master of principles. They do not master us. So not only are we the king and queen of our own relative consciousness, we are the king and queen of those absolute ideas. We didn't necessarily make them, because they've always been, but we have mastery over them.
Mm-hmm. And so just for clarification, for people, because you could hear that to say, I mean, what is the difference between that and universal principles, which operate regardless if whether we believe them or not?
I'm not fully convinced universal principles operate in the way that we operate as human beings. However, I would say they're always in play.
That's kind of what I meant. Yeah.
They're always in play. And, but are they operating? My verdict is still out on that.
Yeah. I'm also going to introduce what I believe to be an unquestioned answer. There are those who believe that a host, a foreign host, an entity enters bodies against their will. And what we're suggesting here is that that may not be entirely true. If we object to that entry, that quote unquote supposed entity, then it can in fact enter our consciousness or our personality without our consent.
Yeah, so that's another whole big subject area.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, shall we go on?
Okay, so that's one way to handle that. However much it may appear that the word is thwarted in its original intent, this is never true. It goes on.
Oh, so why don't we stop there?
Okay.
So the word would be the principle. So it'd be the word we speak based on principle, and principle can never be taken out of its original intent. Let's say that. We can color it and we can modify it, but it's originality is never changed.
And what word is he talking about here? I notice it's not capitalized.
Well, since they weren't really good with being consistent with that, the word here could mean the idea, the principle that contains all principles, or it could be our spoken word. Could be either one.
Okay.
And based on original intent, I'm leaning now towards it being the principle or the divine idea.
Because he says this is never true. And with our spoken word, it could be true.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. It goes on and it enters where reception is given it.
So enters would be more like enters into awareness, wouldn't it?
I would hope so. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Because when we're claiming health for another, we're not installing the principle. We're doing a reminder or a reawakening or a reinforcing of that.
Yeah.
Because our minds are one, we're doing that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the other person has to be receptive to it.
Yes.
In this way, men and women are quickened. And whether we see the result with our physical vision or not, the process is as sure as God himself.
Okay, so that one can be cleaned up. I love what you did in the first place. In this way, men and women are awakened to them, right? Quickened. And whether we see a result with our physical vision or not, the process is sure as divine principle and divine law.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
And so I would say
that's a powerful awareness that we may not always see it, but it's still happening.
Right.
And it may not be at the visible level.
Right.
That's hard for people to get.
Yeah. And I'm also going the epigenetic route, because epigenetics will tell us that we can, in fact, upregulate or downregulate certain genes by willpower so that we are not prisoners of our genes. We can, through our mind action, make a difference in terms of our health.
Yeah. So that's a really different and very important subject area in a way, and that is our genes aren't fixed either.
Exactly.
And the epigenetics aren't fixed. And so this is it's just more and more evidence that our bodies and our minds are a kind of unit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
And it might be, and this is an overstatement, that our mind is a wave and our body is the particle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting to always come back to that, though. It's a good reminder.
I love that analogy, Paul, because I think even the Dalai Lama would agree with that. And as a Buddhist, he's very sensitive to and very aware of scientific evidence-based principles.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you sounded like the Dalai Lama there.
Oh, good company. And so I want to just add in one other layer because of the importance of it. So we talk about thought and feeling. And this question came up in one of my classes recently. Does that include body? And it must. Mm-hmm. So I think that feeling, thinking, feeling nature, especially the feeling side, a lot of people experience it in their body too.
Sure.
And because you cannot not.
Right.
If every thought, feeling gives rise to something in the body, there must be some sort of bodily experience happening, whether we're aware of it or not. And speaking of experiences, I think it's time to rotate, isn't it?
It is. Yes, it is.
So, Sherry, you want to just say a few words about the retreat?
Right. We are, the three of us are facilitating an incredible retreat weekend, the end of March. It will be March 29th, 30th, 31st here in Durham, North Carolina. And we are opening our home as the retreat site. So people will be staying at hotels overnight, but they'll be actually coming into our home. And the three of us are going to facilitate kitchen table discussions. We're calling it Universal Harmony.
Spelled
and
universal.
The Universal Harmony is spelled Y-O-U, Universal Harmony. So we're talking about you, your quantum, divine, human, all the polarities that we deal with in life, and how we manage that in a way that continues us on our road to enlightenment. So,
yeah, so as we've been developing this, another name of this could have been the virtual kitchen table retreat.
It really could have been, yeah.
But it wouldn't be virtual. So that
not
I guess
anymore. It's going to be real. And it's going to be really in-depth. We're going to do deep dives, and we're going to have some experiential things. We're going to do a shaman fire ceremony on Saturday night. And we're just going to have all kinds of wonderful experiences. So we invite people to go to yourspiritualpractice.com. When you get to the main page, there's a box you could click on that says retreat. Paul, you have it on your site also. A link.
Yeah, I have a link on my site, paulhasselbeck.com. And just a quick shout out to Ellen Debeport, because I'm on her program tomorrow, Voices of Unity at Unity Online Radio. It's live from 11 to noon Central Time, but you could probably more conveniently use it and see it or hear it, I should say, as a podcast. Tomorrow's topic is the 12 powers. And then on the 29th, I'm going to do the metaphysics of manifestation.
And they've been excellent. Your shows have been great. Yeah.
I am having a ball.
And for all the golfers out there, when Paul mentions 12 powers, he's not talking about the world's top 12 golfers.
Oh, right. 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 All right. Let's go on to Bill's book, Reverend Bill Unplugged and Unedited. And Cher has been the curator and reader. So where are we going this week?
We're going to have some fun today, a little science along with our discussion. So we like to dive into science as well. And so we have two we're going to cover, and they kind of blend into each other. We're starting on page 191.
Okay.
And we're going to start with a little one-sentence blip that Bill has called unblurring.
Okay.
Unblurring. And then from that move into undiscovered consciousness, because the two kind of tie together and it gets into some quantum stuff that's going to be really interesting, I think. So are we ready to romp on this?
We are. This sounds like it might be a multiple program one. Let's see what we got.
Could be. We'll see. Okay. Unblurring first. This is just one sentence, but as we know, Bill can sometimes do a whole lot with one sentence. So he says, unblurring is taking your materialistic blinders off so you can see the spiritual landscape around you.
That's really good. It's almost like we have these distorted glasses on too, right?
Yes.
That when we can focus on the outer, we're not doing such a good job maybe of remembering and focusing on the inner.
Yeah.
This is related. Unanswered questions. Uh-huh. I was reading some homework from one of my students last night, and the assignment was to look up how Charles Fillmore defined the Holy Spirit. And one of the ones he provided was the Holy Spirit is the teacher. And I didn't catch it last night because my own embedded theology was in override. And there's that traditional idea that Holy Spirit is comforter or a teacher and all of that. So this morning I woke up and that was on my mind. I went and looked. It was like, sure enough, teacher is a function that's assigned to the Holy Spirit traditionally, but it's not a definition.
Yeah, right.
We are all teachers. But that doesn't define us. Teaching is what we do. We're human beings or spiritual beingness manifesting a human experience is a better definition, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go on.
Okay, and so just going along with that unblurring, sometimes taking materialistic blinders off means just simply closing your eyes. That's one reason we close our eyes when we meditate so often. It's to block out the distraction, visual distractions of the material world, so we can see inward. And Bill says sometimes in meditation, close your outer eyes so you can see. And I think that's
true. I love that.
Okay, so that moves us into undiscovered consciousness. And this is the one I think is just really powerful. Once the undiscovered consciousness level of higher spiritual awareness is reached, local and non-local, universal and galactic connections become the same thing as far as function. There's no labeling, no sense of separation, no apartness. There's stillness because there is only universal beingness. Wholeness just is. Oneness is the only form of expression. You will discover that omnipresence, omnipotence, omniscience, and omniactivity just are.
Wow. That first paragraph is stunning, Bill.
Well, thank you.
And what I like what you did here, I don't know when you wrote this, but we had a little conversation a while ago whether oneness is a principle or whether oneness is an expression. Mm-hmm. And here you really remind us that oneness is like an expression. It's an experience we have, and experience is relative. So there's that. And as you were reading this, I went back to Lothar Schaefer's book yesterday to find a couple quotes. And I remembered his term. Instead of universal, he used cosmic, which I kind of like, cosmic beingness. I really love that term. Okay, Bill, did you have anything to share, anything to say about that paragraph? Or you want to go on?
No, I think what I say next will further illuminate that, and then we can deep dive there.
Okay.
And I don't know how much time we'll have to deep dive, but it's a powerful paragraph. This is where we get into the science. Undiscovered consciousness operates at speeds that we might describe as speeds a gazillion times faster than those generated by Lilliputian consciousness through quantum ether. That's a mouthful, that sentence.
It is.
And hopefully people know Lilliputian comes from the reference to Gulliver's Travels with the people who were real teeny.
The little people.
So it's real little teeny consciousness.
And that's our egocentric consciousness.
Yes.
Yeah. Since superluminal or super non-local interactions exist, they are non-local in the sense of non-physical, instantaneous connectedness, which is itself a misnomer because there would be nothing to be connected since that implies a differentiation that doesn't exist.
Brilliant.
Quantum information is received before it is sent, which is also a misnomer because everything at this level of being just is all at once. Essentially, this level of pure universal beingness is absolute, unbounded meta-oneness. Om.
Yeah, so that last little bit before this last sentence is really the crux of it. Quantum information is received before it's sent, and it's not received because it is, right?
Right.
Because it simply is, and then we don't really send it, so the language gets in the way.
Yeah, quantum physics really demonstrates the need for upgrading our languaging. Yeah. We've known this from a spiritual perspective, but now science is having to come up with new ways to describe things too, because the words just don't match the reality.
And there are quantum physicists now who are including consciousness in their equations. And I think we really are in the next 5 to 10 years in for an absolute revolution in quantum physics. May even have to redefine physics itself, because we started out with a mechanistic or mechanical physics, and then it moved into quantum or classic physics, and then it moved into quantum. I wonder what's next.
I would say it involves consciousness, and we are speaking of that. Everybody got to be conscious of time. So let's do this again next week, starting with that paragraph, and take a deep dive. And so for now, we're going to pivot to the Absolute Word, which is based on Sunday messages appearing in the Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication, and has been used with permission. This is from Sunday, January 20th, 2019. The word is enrichment. Using divine love, I enrich all I think, say, and do. In the Hebrew scriptures, Jacob dreamed of angels, divine thought messengers, ascending and descending a ramp connecting heaven, the divine realm, and earth, human awareness. In his dream, God promised Jacob that the families of the earth would be blessed through him and his descendants. Upon awakening, Jacob exclaimed, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." When I experience a spiritual awakening, I discover that the divine presence, the indwelling Christ, the idea that contains ideas, including divine love, is the highest and best part of me. It is inseparably available within my consciousness, even when I do not recognize it. I open my mind and heart to the idea that contains ideas, and I enrich my life in every possible way. Using divine love, I enrich all I think, say, and do. And we could just do a number on that scripture, but we're not going to do that now, because right now it's time to say thank you to our listeners. Thank you, everybody. We appreciate your listening, and we appreciate your comments. Just go over to yourspiritualpractice.com, and there's a way to navigate there. Goodbye, Bill. Goodbye, Cher.
Bye. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
It's been great.
We will see you. Well, we will hear. No, you will hear us later. Bye.